Center of Glenmora, Louisiana, welcoming you to today's broadcast of Grace Point. I trust that you are ready for a revelation and a blessing from the Word of God. Now get your hearts and your minds set as we get into the Word of God. I'll have more announcements at the end of the broadcast. Good afternoon to you. Welcome once again to today's broadcast of Grace Points. I'm Pastor Gerald Simon of Grace Christian Center of Glenmora, Louisiana. And as usual, it is truly an honor to be able to share your Monday afternoon with you. We've been in a rather serious discussion here over the past few weeks concerning a topic that that generally does not get dealt with much, I would say, in the way that it needs to be for our benefit. And I say that just based on the results that we get from the way we talk about it. Not much changes. So that means we're probably not handling it in the way that is most beneficial for us. And I say we, my guest today is, as he has been for the last 3 weeks, I think it is, Bishop A.D. Simon of Rehoboth Ministries of Lake Jackson, Texas, and presiding bishop of Eagles Fellowship of Churches. Good afternoon, Bishop. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Glad to be on again.
Well, praise God. It is good to have you with us one more time. We are really, really into a discussion here that you and I have talked about this, that you know, we believe that much of what is happening right now is based on the fact that we've lost, it seems to me anyway, that we have lost the whole significance of preaching about sin. We've forgotten that the goal behind it, you know, Jesus came, the scripture says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. John said he, in John 3:16, Jesus said, you know, the God so loved the world, we got that. But then after that, he says that he didn't, you know, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the idea really is that he came to redeem us from the sin that we tend to ignore sometimes and pretend that it's not there. And so what we want to talk about today and however long it takes us is how do we deal with this? Because that's what he's really after. Would you not agree?
I agree. We have to, you know, Jesus, again, going back to Adam in the garden, God said, wait, the man, you know, he's tasted of what he should not have tasted of, and we can't allow him to stay in the position that he's in, that he may eat freely off of both trees, the forbidden tree and the tree that he should have been eating off of. And all too often in our churches, we allow people to eat off of both trees, and therefore they become comfortable with both lifestyles. Mm. They have Christian lifestyle on Sunday, they have another lifestyle on Saturday, and they are comfortable with it because to them, what they do is not sin. You know, whatever it is, people have become comfortable, you know, breaking the commandments of the Lord. They've become comfortable, and it's simply because nobody said, "Wait, hold up. You can't stay here like that." Nobody said, wait, you know, that's a sin. You shouldn't do that. And so, you know, because no one is bringing attention to what people are doing. They are growing up in the church comfortable with two different lifestyles.
And that's because they don't recognize that really God wants to truly cleanse us, but because we've accepted our, you know, and I think we said this last week, that we've accepted our role in the church as being the evidence of the condition of our relationship with God. And so if I can still carry on the things that I do in church, then I'm okay. And so it doesn't matter that I have this other issue going on in my life, because I'm okay because I do my church thing. And we fail to recognize that it's really to our benefit, to our good. It's not that, you know, God is not trying to condemn us about our sin, but he really does want to make our lives better and have us to understand that removing the stain, someone said, you know, when with our salvation, we were saved from the power of sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin. We are being cleansed from the power of sin, and then we will be removed from the presence of sin. Well, you know, that middle one is a process. It's a process, and that's the one that people don't want to deal with. We're thankful to be saved from the penalty of sin, but it seems like when you talk about being saved from the power of being delivered from the power of sin, that's where the issue comes, because sometimes we don't want that deliverance.
Exactly. And sometimes we don't know that we need that deliverance.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know that we need that deliverance because we've become so comfortable with a certain lifestyle, and nobody is saying, you know, it's wrong, or you shouldn't do that. Or, you know, if you hear a message on sin, it is, you shouldn't sin, but not specifically. So, you know, we have grown up in a society where right has become accepted as the norm. I mean, wrong, I'm sorry. Where wrong has become, you know, accepted as the norm. It's the norm. And so David said, I was born in sin. I was shapen in iniquity. He says, I was born in a life and a lifestyle that I'm familiar with. And I was shaping my mind, my soul, my spirit. Everything was shaping into that lifestyle that to me right now seems wrong, and wrong seems right, because that's the community that I come up in. That's the community. That's what I know. That's what I've seen. That's what I've experienced. I saw my parents do it. I saw my uncles do it. And I've done it. My children are doing it. And so it has become acceptable. And so for you as a preacher now to come to me and to say that's wrong, and everybody that I know was doing it.
Yeah, yeah. So that makes you the oddball. That makes you the one who
exactly.
says this is not the way God intended for us to live. It makes that person the oddball and the one that nobody wants to listen to or have anything to do with, because they are the joy killers or whatever. Is that expression still being used? I don't know, but you know, buzzkill or something other. You know, you're the one that brings everybody down. You know, but the truth of the matter is, walking in the holiness of God does not steal our joy. As a matter of fact, what it does is that it does not steal our life. You know, sometimes the things that give us joy are really stealing life from us. But walking in the will of God, in the Word of God, does not steal our life. Let me just I want to read a scripture because I think. You know, some of what we're saying, you know, I'm sure there are many people that will disagree with us. And the first thing I want to say this before I read the scripture is that the Bible is not up for debate in the sense of what is a moral standard. And the reason why I say that is because many times we redefine, or we want to redefine, sin based upon what is the standard of our society. You know, we want to say, well, you know, everybody's doing this, so apparently this is no longer a sin. Well, that's not really an issue here. You can't do that. You can't change your doctrine simply because people have changed their habits. You know, that's just not the way that it ought to be. So here's what I want to read from 1 John chapter 1. And really, I'd like to kind of go through about three verses here. I'm not going to, you know, talk about all three of them, but I want to read all three. And then I just to kind of give us a little flow through of some things here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Testament, that translation, New Living Translation. It says the same as the King James, just says it in a little bit different way. It says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. King James Version says from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 says, if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Man, that's some pretty hard stuff. That's some hard stuff. And you know what I find interesting here? Two things, without even talking about the specific verses themselves. Two things. Number one, John wrote his letters not to the quote-unquote sinners of his generation. He wrote them to the church folk. The letters were written to the church folk. And then secondly, this man, who was the beloved disciple, the one upon whom Jesus laid his head upon his chest and all of this, this man says, we. He does not say y'all. He says, if we claim that we have no sin. So he's including himself in it. I think that's an eye-opener for many of us. To quit fooling ourselves, quit deceiving ourselves and saying, well, you know what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with me. There's just, you know, I got it all together. There's nothing wrong with me. The Bible says when you say that, you're deceiving your own self. And then if you turn around and say, well, I've never done anything wrong, then you're calling God a liar. Isn't that something? I'm lying to myself if I say I don't have anything wrong. And I'm calling God a liar if I say I've never done anything wrong. That reminds me of somebody who said they had never done anything that they needed to repent of, but that's another matter. But I mean, here it is. You know, it's plain and simple. He's saying, you know, recognize that there is a problem. Now you're not being condemned for it, but you can't fix what you won't acknowledge exists.
Amen.
And that seems to be an issue, I think, for many of us, because if we don't call it sin, we will never, ever get it fixed. We'll never repent of it. We'll never get cleansed of it, because it says if we confess it, then he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, which is, you know, two different things as well. Anyway, I'm talking too much, but I love that passage because I think it is just so down to earth. And simple, if we would just simply acknowledge it as such. We make things too complicated. Or am I trying to make it too simple?
Well, Proverbs 28 and 13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Amen. Amen.
And so a lot of times we use, we use grace wrong. We use grace where we should be using mercy, because grace is the power that's going to get you out of it.
Amen.
But,
amen.
You know, mercy is the power that's going to cover you while the Lord is working on you. But according to this scripture, if you don't confess it, if you cover it, then you shall not have mercy. And mercy is the thing that that covers you, that keeps others from even knowing what you're struggling with, what you're dealing with. So the fact that a person does not confess it, they don't get help from God.
So if you're trying to cover it, God won't.
God won't.
Wow.
God won't. Yeah, God won't. And so you know, and some of these actions, you know, and let's just put this out there. By no means are we saying that we are perfect. We don't sin. He just read the scripture.
Amen. I'm in the we. I'm definitely in the we.
Yeah, I'm in the we. But you know what we're saying is that all of us have to take a different attitude and a different approach towards sin.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we can't continue to embrace it as we have in the past. And churches would be so much more powerful. We would see God moving in, I believe, a very powerful way if it wasn't for the fact that we've become comfortable with things that we should not be comfortable with.
I think too in 1 John 1:9 it says that if we confess it, that he is faithful to forgive us of the sins, of the actions, but then it also says and to cleanse us of the iniquity. And I mentioned this scripture last week as well. James 1:14 says that every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust. So there is something in us that can draw us away. There is something already in us, which is the seed of some sin in our lives. But here's the thing. I have some trees in my yard, and every year around this time, they do something strange. They start to shed leaves. And, you know, I grew up raking leaves at home as a kid. I hate raking leaves. Now I'm just going to tell everybody you hear this. I hate raking. Okay. But every year when those trees start to drop leaves, somebody's got to get out there and rake them. And I'll admit this, most of the time it's my wife, 'cause she loves it. Go figure. But anyway, you know, so we have to deal with these leaves every year. Now, in order to get rid of these leaves, I can forgive the tree every year for raking the leaves. But if I want to stop the leaves from falling, I got to kill the root of the tree. I got the tree has to die, and I got to get to the root of the tree for it to die, so it stops producing the leaves that I don't want to deal with. So it's one thing to be forgiven for our sins, but in order to keep that thing from coming back, we have to get to the root of it, the iniquity, the lust, the thing that causes it. And various lusts will create various types of sins. In other words, one lust can create a bunch of different sins. A lust is simply a desire. Every time we use that word, people think dirty and, you know, whatever. But it really means a desire. It's an out of control desire, which will control us, which goes back to what we talked about, the last few weeks. And so, a person can have let's say that they have a sexual lust, then that thing can manifest itself as a pornographic addiction. It can manifest itself as adultery. It can manifest itself as sexual perversion. It can manifest itself in many different ways. So there are many sins that can come out of that one lust. So you can be forgiven for a misstep of the sin, but you still have to deal with the lust, the iniquity, so that it doesn't keep recurring. What we want is God to forgive us. But he says, if we confess it, he's faithful not only to forgive, but he's also faithful to cleanse. My God, that's the part that should get us excited. That's the part that should get us fired up. And Bishop, I'm sorry, but that just gets me excited right there, to know that he would not only forgive what we've done, but that he will cleanse us from it for our good. For our good.
Yeah.
You know, we ought to want that stuff out of us. We ought to want that removed from our being, from our soul, from our spirit. We ought to want that removed. And so when we say that we have no sin, then we can never be cleansed of the thing. It's time for us to stop pretending, like you said, that wrong is right and acknowledge, wait a minute, this isn't the way that God intended this. And so there's a fixing that can be done here. There is a fixing. I got a little excited. Sorry. but, you know, I just believe that that's where we are as far as what is needful in the church. Just my opinion.
Yeah, another translation of Proverbs 28:13, it says, whosoever conceals their sin does not prosper.
Okay.
Point blank. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy.
Ah.
I like that word.
Yeah.
And renounce
Amen.
Them. In other words, you don't have to do the work to clean yourself up. Just renounce it.
Just renounce
if
it.
If you renounce it, come on, you know, he'll clean you up from it.
Amen.
Just renounce it. And so, and I think that's where that's a failure on our part. And you know, all of us have our let's say our little battles, but the one who gets stronger, the one who grows closer, the one who experiences his presence more is the one that renounces
Amen.
What he or she knows that God is against.
Amen. And I think, you know, the scripture talks about laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. First of all, we get to lay it aside. Like you say, it's our choice. But I think the key is that thing that does so easily beset us. We know, you know, like you say, we all have our little things, you know, there are things that happen or whatever, but we know what is inside of us that trips us up, so to speak. We know the thing that is out of control in us. We know the thing that will, you know, if nothing else gets us, that will, you know, we know that. And to pretend that, well, that's just the way that I am, or to pretend that, well, it's okay because everybody else does that, is to say to God, God, you can't fix it. And if you could, I wouldn't want you to do it anyway. So I want to go to you. I want to go to heaven. But I really don't want to get in your presence. Isn't that something?
Amen. I was sitting here and I was thinking maybe part of the problem, maybe the reason that sin is not magnified in our eyes to the degree that we were willing to renounce it. Maybe, because, you know, it has become, we've become comfortable in it. It's maybe because of we're not pursuing God. Because if you're not pursuing God, then sin won't matter.
Wow.
Yeah. If you just want to go, you know, just going to church and however you went this Sunday, that's how you're going to go next Sunday. So there is no pursuance of him. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, because they change not, because they change
yeah.
not.
They fear not
yeah.
God.
they fear. Go ahead. Because the scripture, it escaped me just at
first. Well, I remember because it's one that was dear to me for a while. It says, because they have no changes, they fear not God. Isn't that something?
And that's reverence. They
yeah.
lost their reverence.
Lost their
for
reverence
God
for God.
Because of their lack of fear. Because of their lack of change. So change keeps the reverence. It keeps the honor. It keeps, that relationship on fire. But go ahead and finish that scripture.
Well, I'm thinking about what you're saying in that. Oftentimes what happens is because we don't have an expectation or a desire for change. We, you know, we say a lot of things in church. We say a lot of things that we really, really don't believe or act upon. You know, the Bible teaches us that faith without works is dead. So if I believe that God forgives sin, if I have faith enough that God believes that God forgives sin, then the work that goes with that is that I confess the sin that I have. You know, we tend to say a lot of things that we just don't. You know, I hear people all the time saying that, you know, God is a healer, but they won't pray for the sick. Then you don't believe it. You know, we say that, you know, you know, God does, you know, whatever it is that he does, you know, or God will bless the givers or whatever, you know, but we don't give anything, or we don't, you know, and so we, it even comes down to this, you know, we talk about being thankful for being forgiven of our sins. Okay. But that's only half of the process and the project, if you will. The other half is, and cleanse us from the unrighteousness. And so what we want to do is that we want to acknowledge the having been forgiven for what we have done, but we don't believe enough to desire to be cleansed of why we did it. Wow.
Yeah. So, this has been a very interesting study. And again, I guess, you know, we're saying to the people, well, you quoted the scripture that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. So by no means are we trying to condemn, but rather make aware.
Amen.
Make aware.
Amen.
And but the scripture, the scripture back to change again. Would you complete, if you remember?
I'm trying to remember where it is right now. I don't know, and we're running out of time. We'll pick it up next week. How about that? We'll grab that one and work on it next week, because we're going to run out of time. I can pull it up real quick here, I believe. But the real deal is that God wants us to he wants us to live a life of victory. But the life of victory is not based upon what we think it's based upon. It's not based upon what we accomplish as far as material things, which is unfortunately has been given too much priority, I guess would be the word, in our lives, where we don't see our relationship with God based upon, you know, who we are inside. We see it based upon what we have outside, and that's a dangerous place to be. Listen, Tanya's walking in. We're out of time. Let me say this to those of us who are listening. Again, this is not about condemnation. This is about, you know what? We can be a powerful, powerful people for God if we just walk in what he's given us. That's it. All we have to do is just walk in what he's given us. Bishop, would you close with a prayer for us again today, please, sir?
Father, we thank you for these that are listening, and we pray now in the name of Jesus, dear God. We pray for a closer walk with you, a closer walk with you, that every song that is sang, every prayer that is prayed, every scripture that is read would bring each of us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. And that scripture is in Psalm 55:19, by the way. God bless you. Have yourself a great God day, and we will see you next week. You're good. You're good. Oh, God, for us.
Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you've been blessed by our study of the Word today. I want to invite you to join us at Grace Christian Center, 1006 7th Avenue, Glenmore, Louisiana. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Wednesday night, we have intercessory prayer at 6 and adult Bible study at 6:45 with age-appropriate Bible study for the kids at 6:30. Also, you can visit us on our website, www.gccglenmora.org, or Facebook, Facebook/GCC Glenmora. Also,